Welcome back to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me are my two best friends in the world, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Once again, everybody, per usual, I'm Calvin McGowan. As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
What's going on? My name is Philip Dixon, former Fisk athlete, the best. Good to be here.
I know it's been a while since we left. Look, all of us work in education. And as you know, May is the end of the school year, and we pretty much got steamrolled. So hiatus is now over. Let's get back to it. A lot of time has passed. Both teams have come out of the conference finals. We got the Nuggets. We got the Heat. Hopefully you guys can just sit through some basketball. I know it's been a little bit hard for you guys to, you know, adjust to what the new era of NBA play is. But guys,
hard for who to adjust?
I don't, you know, some people.
Who are you talking to?
Random people.
So there are a lot of people.
You watch basketball.
There appear to be people who consider this a boring finals because, you know, basically one of the big name teams aren't in it. Some of those people are just salty that Boston didn't make it or LA didn't make it, which, you know, fine. It's cool to be a fan.
Huh? I don't take people seriously. Those people are the worst.
Like, I don't either, but it is still kind of annoying. Look, an editor on from Sports Illustrated who basically said that, like, the Nuggets weren't interesting.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
And you were like, on Twitter, you were like, oh, is he admitting to being bad at his job?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure he just admitted to being bad at his job.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he was doing. This man, two-time MVP on the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray has been going crazy. And, like, they just got a lot of, like, the best people who know their roles in terms of role players on the team, or in the league, honestly. And you over here talking about a boring team, and you got, like, that one of the only times an eight seed's made it to, like, the NBA Finals. Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's stories. You can conjure up a story for days about what this is. But no, the guy didn't have anything. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're bad at your job. I get what this is.
It's just like, what, both Jamal Murray and Porter Jr. are back to, you know, being good players after dealing with a variety of injuries. Porter was basically made of glass his first 2 years. And his 1 year in college. Can't forget that.
Back injury will do that to you.
Fair. I'm not hating. I'm just saying. Like, the fact that he's gotten around to even being as good as he currently is, not let alone the fact he can still get a lot better, is low-key, like, something of a not-so-minor miracle.
Also, all those people who want to care about Aaron Gordon, the dunk contest, watch him in the series. He's doing a really good job. So, like, or watching him play. In the playoffs, generally, he's been doing a pretty good job. But, like, he's in a good position, right? He is the, Nuggets equivalent of Golden State's Andrew Wiggins, right? He was, like, fine to pretty good.
Bring the Warriors up, huh?
Well, like, you're fine to pretty good in, like, you know, your original situation. And then you get put into the right situation, and, like, your best of your potential comes to be shown. And that's what, you know, happened with Aaron Gordon once he moved from Orlando Magic to the Nuggets. And I'm just like, these are plenty of stories that you can just talk about. But boring, that just means you don't like your sport. Like, why are you a journalist in that sport if you don't like it? Do something else. Go to Iraq.
Out of pocket.
What? So, you know
that was wild.
You know, like, if you like your sport, be a war journalist. Do something else. Don't be a sports journalist if you don't like sports.
Like, I think the issue is these things, all these stories, because there are great stories. Like, realistically, the window for the Nuggets opened up 2 years ago. If those guys did not go down with significant injuries, who knows if the Warriors actually get that last ring last year? They would have had to go up against elite Jokic with those guys a year better. So, yeah. Like, there's plenty of storylines that we can't tackle. I just think it would make you scratch your brain a little bit more than you need to versus what we've been having for the last decade, which is LeBron and Steph, where it's really easy, where it's like these dudes sell it themselves. Like Calvin was saying, it's showcasing that the people are bad at their job or think they're powerless for some reason when you have things like ESPN behind you and you could literally just create a narrative that people have to rock.
All right.
Can we get into the actual basketball for a moment? Because otherwise I'm going to get on a rant about, like, the fact that the NBA sucks at, like, pushing new stars, and that's going to involve wrestling. I'm just not trying to do all that right now. Not this second. We can at least talk about the basketball. We can come back around to this.
Rambling is what podcasts are for. How dare you be direct and try to get us to move on to something else?
That's not just
to circle back around on the exact same subject later on.
Exactly.
All right, look, okay. So, the thing is, right, like, if you look at, like, the stars of the NBA, right, or the folks who could be more or less considered, you know, the stars, the most well-known players and whatever, everybody is either their career is winding down, right, like, they've only got a couple more years left, realistically, or, like, they're really young. Right. Part of this is just like LeBron and Steph, like keeping a generation of dudes from getting rings. But it's also just like, for example, like Tatum isn't as big a deal as Steph or LeBron were at a similar age. Well, maybe not Steph. And they're probably not the best examples. I'm trying to remember. It's just like, this is so long ago. But like, the reason stuff is boring is that you don't push the stars that you have. You keep promoting the old guys without really building up the new guys. Like Ja, a lot of people consider, like Ja's generally considered a star. He's super well known. He's, you know, a human highlight reel. But like, that was very much kind of in spite of the way the media works with the NBA.
Right.
Right, like Luka's probably not the level of star he should be.
We be pointing at him like, oh, this is his year to win MVP for the last 5 years. He's kind of there.
He's like, I'm not saying he's not. This isn't about talent. I feel like I could be wrong on some of this, or like characterizing this poorly.
See, I'd argue for Luka, he don't feel charismatic. Like some of these stars, right? So like, you go into like the early 2000s, right? Mid to early 2000s. Sure, you have LeBron, right? LeBron's the best. LeBron's the best of that generation. He had a charisma about him from the very beginning. Right, automatically, you know, and we started following him. We, the basketball populace, started following him even earlier than they started following other players on like a global level, right? Being later years of high school, so on and so forth. But then, you know, you had Shaq, who had like charisma, right? Automatically, that's why he's able to thrive like he is on like on television like he is right now. You had Kobe Bryant, who was even like the most like straight and forward, narrowed one, but he had charisma. He'd go into prom with Brandy, you know what I mean? Like he had a little side quest to be, you know, elevated to superstar status also. But they also had Tracy McGrady's, who, that dude don't got no charisma. Vince Carter, outside of the dunk contest, he don't got no charisma, right? So like there's like top tier, there's like an S tier and then an A tier, right, of like superstardom. And this year or this season, these past couple seasons, you're talking about growing stars. I don't think a lot of them are that charismatic. Luka's not that charismatic. Jokic isn't that charismatic. Ja Morant's charismatic, but some could argue in, like, the wrong ways. Or not necessarily the wrong ways, but, like, he's charismatic in, like, a leaning towards more Allen Iverson way. Means, like, you know, just, like, black culture-esque way. But not as influential. I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, Allen Iverson changed the dress code. He was, you know, Allen Iverson was that guy. He dribbling footballs. Ja Morant not doing all that. And he's ruining it for himself for the current situations that's going through. So, like, I just think there's a lot of, you know, Jason Tatum. He's not a charismatic guy. I just humbly am one of the best basketball players in the world. You're not that charismatic.
He's super, right? Lame. He's super lame right now.
Like, you're, like
really weird.
And I think that's all I'm saying. Is that there's just a lot of lame dudes in the NBA. Like, at least in the 70s, you had, like, Dr. J, the 80s. You know what I mean? You had, like, people, you know, Magic Johnson with the big mink coats on. And but, like, the non-lame guys in the NBA now still even seem kind of lame, right? So, I mean, like,
Kyle Kuzma.
James Harden, right? Russell Westbrook. They're not necessarily lame guys, but, like, they're not.
They'd also qualify as, like, kind of being in the tail end of their careers as well, though.
I mean, they was dressing wild before the tail end of their careers. Ain't nobody, mm-hmm. Listen, people would see Magic Johnson, and they go, man, that guy got a DJ set in his locker. He got the big minks. They see Dr. J and go, man, I want to dress like that. I want to play the same style as that. Like, the only person in the NBA now who is more in telling career, obviously, which is Steph Curry, that the youth go, I want to play like that. Steph Curry don't got no swag. He got, that's a lie, he got swag, but it's like suburban swag. And that means no swag, right? Like, appreciate Steph Curry play like he grew up, he played in the suburbs his whole life. And that's not, you know, in the NBA, that's never been like the cool style. You know what I mean? The trend-setting styles. So I just think it's like a charismatic thing. I don't necessarily think it's a talent thing, but once again, you said it's something to do with talent.
Yeah, this, what I'm talking about isn't about talent.
Yeah. So that's my op-ed. So,
like, my thing though is still, right, is like, as a media though, right, the whole point is like find an interesting angle. It's like, it's basketball, right? Dudes get hurt, they start playing well, they start playing poorly. A dude has a career year. Like they're stories like people would be interested in reading all over, right? We like, even just like with the Nuggets, but like, and I think that on some level it is, I'm not gonna like sit and necessarily argue the charisma thing with you too much, but like on some level it is the media's responsibility to like hype up, I feel like, to hype up stars. And I feel like they're not really doing, like, particularly for like the younger dudes, they're not really doing that. And right, and like the thing is like, it would be like, and I think part of it, right, like the new crop of guys aren't like, we have dudes in Boston, but there aren't really dudes in LA, right? Like, you know, the Heat are in Miami, but like none of them would be considered, like, are, what am I trying to say?
You talking about like big market teams?
It's not even about, like, the focus, I guess, with the media tends to be on the bigger market teams. So when you have, like, I'm not quite going to use Ja for several reasons here, but like when you have like LaMelo Ball over in Charlotte, I don't know, Trae Young feels weird to me with this, but like Trae Young in like Atlanta or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in like Oklahoma City, right? And okay, you talk a little about like, oh, these dudes are playing well, but like there's not that investment in trying to showcase your young talent to the world in a real way.
Yeah. And look, I think part of it, from like a media standpoint, I think we've gotten lazy. We know LeBron has been a superstar for forever, but they saw that at 15 and was like, this is what we're going to talk about for the next 25 years. They made us love LeBron every step of the way, and they're not doing this with the new generation, even though, like, we should be sick of Giannis at this point. We should, like, almost be sick of Jokic at this point. And because we're, like, overlooking them, and those are, like, the middle-aged superstars, where it's like, these might be the dudes that you can talk about for the next 5 to 7 years to give you that bridge between, like, the next great one, and we don't. We know Giannis. We don't know anybody else in that age group.
I wonder if the league itself, this is a thought, I wonder if the league itself is also trying to shy away from being a league ran by superstars and being like the corporate entity, you know, itself. You know what I mean? Like I wonder if that's like a motive of theirs, because if one superstar, because the power it holds, right? We've seen the power of LeBron James now, Michael Jordan in the past, Magic Johnson, right? Larry Bird-esque, right? What if they're just, as like a marketability standpoint, them as a league is trying to like shift away from that?
I haven't thought about that.
If you're worried about the ancillary superstar, make 3 to 5 at a time. There are literally 3 players right now that for best player in the world.
I mean, but like,
that's what we should be seeing.
I mean, you're not wrong by any means. I don't disagree with you by any means. But, and I just kind of thought about this with, especially when Calvin was talking about the Hawks, Trae Young, you know, Alexander, Oklahoma City. Like, the more you can have stars for promotion, for advertisement, for all these things, what do you want? 1 giant superstar, 5 superstars, or do you want 15, 20 stars for marketability all over, especially if you're trying to like gain popularity throughout the world and not just be in the United States, right? Like, I think that is a thing that possibly could be like in terms of business and thinking about it right now, I don't think that is so out of control that that wouldn't be like a part of like the business scheme of the NBA going forward.
I think the thing is just like the basic issue with not necessarily like that plan, assuming that's what they're trying to do. It's like on some level, it kind of just has to be a power thing, because like those superstars are what grew the brand, right? Jordan came into his own, league became more popular than it had ever been to that point, right? LeBron shows up, Curry shows up again. More people and more places caring about the league than you ever had. So, on some level, if the goal is to grow the brand as much as possible, not that you don't build multiple stars, you most certainly should. And the fact that you don't have dudes who can, on some level, kind of step into the new role, the guy, even if only for a brief moment, is an indictment to how you market the product, in my opinion. But like, to like try and keep any given basketball player from becoming bigger than the NBA, right?
Right.
In the way that, I guess, to think wrestling for a brief moment, like The Rock or somebody, became bigger than like WWE.
Yeah.
It's kind of shooting yourself in the foot if the goal is to grow the brand.
I mean, maybe not. Because if the goal is to grow the brand, to like, and I was just listening to an interview with Kevin Garnett and Joakim Noah, right? And they were talking about like the steps that the NBA is doing to grow the brand specifically in the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal as a company, as a corporation, is to expand and bring in more profit by, you know, expanding to a wider margin of consumer, then if you can get more people of more relatability in different locations, then like the stars, like if you're Oklahoma City, and you have like a star there, that might, no one in the world really cares about Oklahoma City, but who does care about Oklahoma City? Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, right? Like all these quote unquote flower states. So it's spreading out. It's like, and it's not in terms of talent, but in terms of marketability, it could be like a, they could be thinking about it as like a quantity or quality thing.
And but so, like, I'm sorry. My thing is just like, okay, if, right, you want to try and like have more identifiable stars for more people to identify with, then when you get those dudes on that talent level, you push them, you promote them, right? Yeah. Like, if, for example, if the goal is to get more love, like to try and grow basketball in on the continent of Africa or whatever, push Embiid more, right? Make it, like, try and make him a bigger deal. Not just right. within basketball, but outside of it.
Now, I think that you are 100% correct, but I do think they are doing it. I think you're 100% correct. They are doing it. I think they're just doing it poorly, as you're pointing out right now, right? There's, you know, you it doesn't matter if you're what your goal and ambition is. It is once you do that, will you do it successfully or you do it not successfully? And you're right. You're gonna cater to the continent of Africa. Like, there are a couple different Africans in the league right now, right? Giannis being heritagely one of them. Like, you could be like, all right, look at this. This could be you. But also, you know, you still got to, on the back end, kind of worry about these European leagues that do this thing over there who are really nice their whole entire careers. You know what I mean? So... It's just, I don't know. It's an interesting thought process of, you know, the business side, I guess, of...
Like, you can promote multiple dudes at once, though. Like, but I don't know. This is...
But, once again, okay, but if you want to take it back to wrestling, though, like, wrestling for a long time... And I'm using this analogy, actually. Wrestling for a long time, Vince McMahon did not want to a superstar to be bigger than the product. Right, so you had Hulk Hogan. After Hulk Hogan, you had The Rock. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay, after them, who'd you have? John Cena. Okay, after John Cena, who'd you have? For a long time, it was nobody until the last like year and a half, which is Roman Reigns. Right, so like for years, WWE tried to do this exact same thought process of what we're getting right now, but then they realized, oh, this isn't working, and our numbers are going down. Let's get the superstar again. So watch, I bet the NBA, we see a very similar thing. We are just we're beginning to get into that valley, that like underbelly of, okay, there is going to be no superstar. But they're saying it's going to be Victor Wembanyama. I felt like, right, I get he's the greatest prospect since LeBron James, what they've been saying. I felt like there was more hype in Zion coming to the league than there has been Victor. That's just me. And I mean, like, not from, like, the amount of work journalists have put in to, like, write about him. I mean just, like, the feel of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just like, I mean, he might be really good, but LeBron James wasn't just good. He had, like, a star quality about him,
too. But you also think of, like, domestic products versus international products. Yeah. And we'll always right. get into that issue. But like you guys are saying, as far as I'm concerned, this is the Adam Silver issue. Like, this is where he's going to have to make his bones as, like, the commissioner. Like, this is his this switch up where he has to make his legacy points. Like, this transition, like, you got to... If you want to do the multiple star thing, you got to make it work. And if that happens, he gets the crown. If not, we're looking at him like, you're letting the product fall.
So, wait, just so I'm clear, you're saying that one of the establishing issues of Adam Silver's career is going to be, how does he deal with international play?
No, not how he deals with international play. How he is, for years, like you've been saying, you get one or two superstars at a time. That has been the NBA's bread and butter. Yeah. If he wants to transition to the multiple star thing, he's going to have to figure out how it works.
Like, how's he going to handle marketing when it's not on easy mode anymore?
Exactly. Because David Stern is the reason why we know the NBA the way we know it right now.
To you,
this is now Adam Silver's turn to figure it out.
To you, at this moment, Adam Silver has been in the league for about a decade-ish, a little under that maybe. What is his legacy right now, as we stand right now? Because I have one in my mind, what I think it is, and it's the Black Lives Matter stuff. And not saying he did a good job, not saying he did a bad job. It, you know, agree or disagree. You know, is it performative? Is it not performative? That is probably the biggest thing he had to deal with, is players walking out of stuff. Do you think that how he engages with this further on can overtake that in terms of legacy standpoint?
For sure. Because I also, much how we have forgotten about the Black Lives Matter movement as a whole throughout society, like, you know, we were really fighting for a couple months there and nothing's happened. I feel like that's going to be the same thing on his resume. Like, if his career stopped right now and we went through it and they made a documentary about Adam Silver, that might be 30 minutes of the story. But it is basically like a 6-month journey of his 30 plus years with the league. Like,
big though.
That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not like super memorable. So we're going to have to. So I'm going to have to shake, and I need it. Hopefully it's this part.
Hopefully it is. You're right.
Yeah. But, guys, let's talk about some actual basketball, man.
Yeah.
The finals, everything's tied 1-1, one for the Heat, one for the Nuggets. And I'm going to be real with you guys, I'm still banking on the Nuggets in 5. Honestly, like, they haven't, like, even with Duncan Robinson pushing the Heat to that comeback, I'm not worried. I didn't see any, like, incredible adjustments that had me the least bit shook.
Do you know what the adjustment was? Man, the Nuggets think they had it in the bag. And they took their foot off the pedal. That's essentially what it was, right? The Nuggets taking them a light. Because they started playing games. They started playing a little bit more goofy than the Nuggets we have come to know this year played. This was a wake-up call. The end of this last game was a wake-up call. Watch what happens next game. Like I just want everybody to watch what happens game 3, because there was this weird talking point today of turning Jokic into a scorer and they lose versus like a passer, and even Spoelstra kind of like chuckled at it. It was like the untrained eye kind of scenario, you know what I mean? And I think that if you are engaged with actually watching the games, then you're gonna see that, okay, game 3, they're about to lay it down. It's not gonna even be a close game, I don't think. Because I'll get into Jimmy Butler later on, but Hemi Butler not looking too Hemi.
Yeah. I think the thing that I said this entire time when this series was coming up is going to be competitive. But that doesn't mean it's going to be a long series. That just means each game, the Heat are going to give them some type of challenge. It ain't going to be too bad, but it's going to be enough where it's like, oh, that 10-point lead, not really safe. And that's exactly what they gave us last night. It was like, we're just going to play through the whistle and be like,
Calvin, as a person who watched game 2, tell me if I'm tripping. The game was far than close and far than close. Mm-hmm. But even when it was close, even when the Nuggets lost, the game didn't feel close. Am I tripping? Because, like, I was watching. I'm like, I feel like the Nuggets are playing way better than these dudes. And it don't feel close, but the game was close. And I usually go, that's like my gut feeling coming to it. Like, yeah, they about to get washed. They just need a little wake-up call. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm not sure I completely agree with that. Maybe, I don't know. It might just be a matter of perspective.
I could have been
tripping. Like, that said, though, right, like the... Because memory serves, that last game, right? The Heat spent, let's see, they were down for a while. But they spent a lot of the game more or less in control. Right? And then kind of pulled away there, you know, with Duncan Robinson remembering how to shoot. And, like, I think... it'll probably go 6 or 7. Good players, good coaches, they're going to make adjustments. I don't think that... I think that the Heat are more capable collectively than I feel like folks kind of want to give them credit for. That's not to say that like they're necessarily the better team in the series. They obviously don't have the best player in the series. But, you know, they were, like, last night, of course, they were able to take a game from the Nuggets. Nuggets, like, next game is about to be in Miami. They have time to make adjustments. I just think that, like, I guess what it comes down to, I feel like, the Heat undeniably know who they are, and they know what they can do, and Spoelstra is really good at maximizing that, as well as, like, attempting to take away what other teams do well. Right? The thing with, like, oh, make Jokic a scorer or whatever is just kind of, like, what you're doing really is, like, taking passing lanes away. Right? And... also I noticed that Aaron Gordon wasn't getting a lot of that roll to the rim stuff he was getting game one. Granted, they did still leave him open from deep, which seems kind of ill-advised, but like, you know, you probably don't want most of the other dudes starting taking that shot. But like, I don't know, as far as Spoelstra and them are concerned, as long as they get the win, The details are immaterial. But yeah. I think it'll be a longer series than a lot of people expect it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to get to disagree with that one. I think this is the only win. And this is like, we haven't seen the Nuggets play, quote unquote, this poorly in a minute. And I don't suspect they will again, to be really honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised, once again, as I mentioned, 5 games and, like, you know, get them out of here. Nuggets win, and then people are going to start making excuses. Oh, we only played an 8 seed.
They're already making the excuses.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's also...
It is.
They really try to put an asterisk by this one, and I don't understand why. Like, oh, they played weak teams. Like, bro, we know what the West was this year, but there was also some, like, killers over here. Like, this wasn't a cakewalk. Getting out the West. It wasn't the hardest thing ever, but it wasn't a cakewalk.
It wasn't a cakewalk, but, like, you know, I mean, I don't know, it was a league. Like, we had this game of conversations. We have these conversations every single year. It's the league. Some people get it easy. Some people get it hard. But at the end of the day, you're going to win a championship. So what's a league? So you do that, we good. It should be that simple.
And we should give a hat tip for the best team in the league right now. Like, that is the best team.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, gotta do better. Yeah, man, I don't really have a lot to say on the series, bro. I think it's going to be very, like, cut and dry. It happened.
Dang. Jimmy Butler shouldn't have won Eastern Conference MVP?
Who would you give it to?
Martin.
Okay.
He's the only reason they won that series. He came out killing. Also, Jimmy Butler, he's not playing that well. Like, if you look at his efficiency, it's not good. Like, his efficiency over the last couple games, for sure, have just not been good. But, like, you know, that's, you know, he had a stretch of, like, a series or two. And all of a sudden, that, like, lore made its way over to, like, the rest of the series he's played in. It's like, nah, he did not win that series because of him against Boston. And the Heat aren't really winning some of these series, or it didn't win yesterday's game against the Nuggets because of him. They won it because every role player played their role to the T, or they played better than they should have played. And it's just like, you know, Jimmy Buck is, you know, he's shooting 26 points, 26 shots. You know, that's not good. What are we talking about? That's never been good. But for Jimmy Butler, I guess myths and legends will always exist, no matter how prominent the internet is, because somehow or some way people just stop looking at the stats for this man and just like are just feeling him purely based off those numbers, off those earlier numbers.
No, cut it out, Phillip. We're not about to sit here and act like Jimmy ain't had some high heights.
No, I'm not.
These last couple months.
I never say he didn't, though. I'm saying that he's also had some low lows.
So is everyone else.
No.
No, the lows.
But the way they're talking about Jimmy Butler, I think my issue, I don't want to say like issue, that might be too strong. But the thing that I'm trying to get across is, I think for the Heat specifically, I think it's less about Jimmy Butler a lot of times and more about the coaching of this team. Like, Jimmy Butler has some really high highs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But also, he has some really low lows. And if Giannis plays in the first two games, they don't beat the Bucks. I mean, it is what it is, right? We know this to be fact, right? They don't gain that confidence to be able, especially these role players do not gain that confidence to be able to do that, point blank period. But what is consistent throughout the entire playoff so far, and to get into this point, is their superior coaching. And I never have been like an Eric Spoelstra guy, like for whatever reason. But you can't deny that to be the case right now. Like, Eric Spoelstra goes into every series and has outcoached in every single series. Adjustments from game to game. People will always hype up the adjustments that weren't made for Doc Rivers, right? That's because Achilles' heel is like game-to-game adjustments, whatever. But they won't hype up the fact that Eric Spoelstra is probably, in my opinion, if not reason number one, then reason number 1A, that they are in this position right now. The coaching is nuts, right? I mean, it's just phenomenal coaching. And to get all these role players, right, to be the best version of the role players that they are at this level in the NBA Finals, the preparation, it has to be top tier. It has to be. So I don't know. I think that's like an unsung story, I guess, of, you know, these Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals so far.
Do y'all remember when we made fun of the NBA selecting Eric Spoelstra as one of the best coaches of all time?
Yeah.
I kind of feel stupid.
Man, I felt stupid a lot of times this playoff. Like, I'm going to lie to you, this playoff, like, some of my takes and my thoughts in this playoff, I'm like, do I know basketball? Like I had to question myself a little bit. I was like, do I know basketball at all? Like, yeah, we did bad on that one.
No, I don't think y'all realize the NBA has just been really weird for the last two seasons, because we have not made a, like, expectations episode in 2 years. If that's mainly because I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I don't know who's going to win MVP. I don't know who's going to win the championship. I don't know anything. I'm really just coming here to have fun. And I didn't have as much fun as I thought I would.
This is stupid.
No, bro. Think about all the injuries. Like, all the little stupid stuff that happened. Like, I'm going to be real with y'all. The Lakers should not have gotten as far as they did. They had a great road to get to where they got. I don't know if it was organized or orchestrated. I don't care what happened. But they made sure they got, like, all the soft spot teams where it's like, okay, you make it. Kind of the same thing with the Miami Heat.
Right.
That's a crapshoot. Like, stuff happens. It's nobody's fault. It's just...
You can only play who's in front of you.
Very different. What'd you say?
You can only play who's in front of you.
Exactly. It could have been very different. That's deep. I don't want to complain about stuff, but... I got my hater boots on. Oh, we can call the Lakers again, by the way. Their season is over.
And good on that.
Yeah. But yeah. That's not a reason to talk about them. Well, Hachimura, but that's not going to matter until next season. So moving on.
Exactly. I don't have anything else for the NBA Finals. Do you guys got something else?
Nope.
Not really. Well, I will say that, like, I actually do like the Nuggets coach, Mike Malone, a fair bit. I'm not going to go into detail on that a whole lot for the moment, but yeah. Because it more or less just boiled down to years ago, after some game, I think against like the Lakers or somebody's, a reporter asked him, do you think y'all converted any new fans? He's like, we don't need any new fans. I don't care if we converted new fans, as long as the other team's fans went home unhappy.
Well, he's an interesting dude. I'll give him that. But let's go ahead, get some rapid fire stuff. Shout out to Aaliyah Boston. She out here killing in the WNBA, out here breaking records. But she had like 4 straight games of double doubles to set a WNBA all time record. So shout out to her. She killing it. FIBA Under-16. Under-16 starts today. So if you guys want to see some really talented 15, 16-year-olds, and trust me, you want to see this. I think this is probably one of the best groupings and teams that I've probably ever seen come out of the... And it's really because of size. It's not like something that she get like super excited about, even though I think Cameron Boozer is going to be a generational talent. I think Caden is... He's not close, but he gonna get some love in the league too. But yeah, like the shortest dude on the team, little 6'1" white kid that can really shoot, and everybody else is between like 6'4" and 6'11". Going to be fun watching this beat the shit out of the rest of the everybody else's teenagers. Great, I love it. My favorite time of year. All right. But guys, if we don't have anything else to add, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I have been your host, Alan Perdiger Jr. And in front of me are my two best friends in the world, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and sign out for us.
Once again, everybody, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. You join us on YouTube, you know, like, share, subscribe, and send in the comments. You, of course, can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. And I look forward to being more correct than my compatriots when it comes to the finals.
Yeah, and I'm Philip Dixon, a.k.a. will be more right than Calvin. And yeah, this right here is the Traveling Hoopers podcast.
Oh, before we get out of here.
Oh.
What's the over-under on Ja Morant's game suspensions?
I mean, I don't even care. I just want them to announce it already.
I'm trying to figure out what these extra, the extra information they found out was.
Right. But,
I'm like, what's that even mean? Like,
it's like, it's not his gun. Like, he had shot somebody.
Clear cut to me. Over under, I say, since it's a second time.
Wait, let me set the line. Let me set the line. I'm setting the line at 30. We over or under.
I'm gonna say over.
I think I'm gonna go with under.
Yeah, I'm going under too. I'm going under. I think he gets 25 games.
I'm literally going over just because of I'm going over just because the second time, and also like, why make these extra charges? Because they said extra charges, or they said extra information, but like didn't say he wasn't gonna get suspended. So I'm like, what does this extra information mean? So this is my trash deductive skills happening. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go over.
But I think Adam Silver saying we found other stuff is very legal. I think that's legal talk. I think you still drumming up, like, this is the marketing ploy. I'm going to really get y'all to come back and look, see what else he did. And I don't think it's going to be.
He was like, oh, we're not going to go into it because we don't want to distract from the finals. It's like, too late. You said something.
Yep, exactly. So, yep, I'm going to go over. Y'all going to go under.
Right. I just want them to announce whatever it is. I don't even care like that.
Now let's just make this spicy. We are now a sports betting podcast. We trying to put money on it, or we trying to inconvenience each other one time on an episode? What's up? How to bet are we making out of this poor man's consequences? We can either put 20 in the pot, or we can come up with some bad dares.
20, that's not true. Five. All right, thank you. Let's do five.
Yeah, let's do five.
Five. No, we gotta embarrass each other on this one. If John had to embarrass himself, we gotta embarrass ourselves.
That man don't run how I run my life.
I do now. I'm the podcast host, so. I'm ruining your life for 20. 30 minutes at a time.
20.
Oh, you ready to go with the money? You're a psychopath. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Calvin, we're going to have to split his $20.
Oh, no. All right, let's try to do the podcast. Bye.